Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The words chosen for our devotion this morning are recorded in St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is God's word. This passage, which we have just read from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, is one that I would guess that quite a few of you probably had to memorize in confirmation class. Salvation, it highlights the central teaching of the Bible. Salvation by grace, through faith, not by your own strength and work. Everything that belongs to the salvation that God has promised to you in his word is by grace alone. Only by grace, not by anything else. Grace is God's work. God's grace is a love which is undeserved, and it's unconditional. It's loving kindness, and there's absolutely nothing that anyone does to earn it. Our Lord's loving kindness forgives the sins and the sinfulness of those who are naturally his enemies because of the disobedience and the guilt that was brought upon the whole race and in which we share by our first parents. That's the condition to which grace comes. At the same time, even in our new life as children of God, our human nature is never quite able to buy into the idea that there's nothing involved in this that we need to do. We think that we have to do something. There must be something that I should do. Like a little child who's parents are trying to help him, and he says, I want to do it myself. We think that there has to be something that we deserve to get into this relationship with God. And so we say to ourselves, what can I do? It must be my faith. That's the one thing that I do and can do to make God like me. He rewards me when I believe in him. My nature, however, it turns out that is such that I don't even have the strength to permit God to enter my heart. As St. Paul and the others make clear in the New Testament and the prophets in the Old Testament made clear, all I can do is lock God out of my heart. So if we think that by inviting God into our hearts, that we do our part, if we think that, then it turns this Bible text that we have read into a lie. By grace are you saved through faith, and not that salvation and faith of your own working, all of it is the gift of God. Some of you will also remember this confession of faith from the Catechism, a confession of weakness. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. And that is underlined also by the last verse of this text from Ephesians chapter 2. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. What does it mean to say that we are his workmanship? Well, it means more than one thing. He created the human race in Adam and Eve. And so that is his workmanship. He also does that in the continuing miracle of life, when he made you and me to be living beings in our mother's womb. But not only that, more importantly, we are his workmanship because of his new creation. Our new life is that by his grace, he's redeemed us. He's given new life to our hearts to be born again as new beings, righteous in God's sight through faith. He does that by his work on the cross, by his perfect righteous life, and he brings it to each of us through baptism and his word, creating and sustaining faith in our hearts, which simply trust what he says. When God looks upon me, he sees the perfect righteousness of his Son, created in Christ for good works. Now, we are always confronted by the reality of our sinful nature, and that gets in the way every day, every moment of every day. I must never forget that in my life as a Christian, the sinful flesh that I brought with me into the world still clings to me like mud on a wheel. I'm at the same time a saint in God's sight and a sinner in this world. But this God of grace continues to cover my sin with the blood and the righteousness of Christ. Now, that is not the end of God's good work either. Paul says that God prepared these good works beforehand, that we should walk in them. Now, that means, for one thing, that we don't have to sit around bursting our brains, discovering new good works to do. They've already been invented. God has already given them in his law, and we see them in the Ten Commandments, in the Sermon on the Mount, and throughout the teaching of the Old and the New Testament. No longer are they a burden and a terror, but they are set before us as God's will. The law, like a mirror, continues to show us our sinfulness. But even while the law does that for us daily, it also shows us where these good works are. They're right out in front of us in plain sight. They're in faithfulness and love to our family, husband, wife, children, to our neighbor, to our employer, to our workers, to our teachers, our students, and also our enemies, those who do not love the Lord Jesus, and those we will never meet face to face. But we don't have to invent good works, though some people really enjoy doing that. We look to God's word, and we look to the places where God has put us in this life. That's our calling, our vocation. Inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, Jesus says, you have done it to me. All the while, we are reminded that we live completely under God's grace, a love which we do not deserve, but which we must not despise. He has brought us to this through the sacrifice of his Son, and the sanctification and the work of the Holy Spirit in word and sacrament. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Thanks be to God. Amen.